Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, that's that Miss Jenny Grubb from Longview.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory, oh what joy,
oh, what joy
they bring to me,
they bring to me.
How I long once more to be,
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory, oh what joy they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory, oh what joy
they bring to me. With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, you know, that song you just heard, the old country church, is really letting you know who we are. I'm just a country boy. And this is just a country ministry. But also, I played another song for you this morning that asked you a question. I'm going to play that song now for you again to see what it puts in your mind.
Living alone in this old sinful world, hardly a comfort can afford. Driving alone to face temptation sore, where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul. Needing a friend to save me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord? But when my soul needs manna from above, where could I go but to the Lord?
wanted you to do some thinking. Let us go now to the Lord in prayer. Pardon me. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Fathers, we get into your word. Once again, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to come to bring, Father, his voice with your words through me to each and every one that will hear this message, so that the things that are said, Father, are yours and not mine. And may he open our hearts and our minds so that they are receptive in receiving a better understanding of your word, so that we, Father, can walk and be better equipped to reach out to help others that are walking in darkness and weakness, so that they too can come to realize that they need more than themselves. They need the Lord Jesus Christ in their lives, and that they will come out of darkness, Father, and to that light, the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, be with us now throughout this study. In Jesus' name, I pray. All right. We're going to be in chapter 2 of 1 John. We finished chapter 1 this morning. Now, chapter 2, starting to lead us into a lot of things. Now, verse 1. My little children, these things write unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. 2. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for also for the sins of the whole world. All right. As we look a little further into these two verses, that verse 1, my little children, indicates John's deep concern for his readers. In preceding verses, he had been concerned with erroneous notions that some may have held and advocated. Now, turns directly to his addressees. Advocate is a legal term for one who intercedes for another. In verse 2 there, this word propitiation is here an atoning sacrifice. That's what that word means. That Jesus bore in his body the punishment due us for our sins, and in so doing, he propitiated God. Or in other words, he satisfied God. Just demand that sin be punished. You see, all sins has to be, and the sinner has to be punished. Now, but you see, Jesus, being our sacrifice and taking our sins and the sins of the world to the cross, that was where he satisfied God, because he took our punishment. Now, the thing about it is, though, is in order for us to live by that, we have to go through him. We can't be out here continuing in sin and keep up the same old sins as some teach. And they'll use that first verse for that also. Because it says, my little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. But we all walk in sin until we go to the Lord Jesus Christ and admit we are sinners and repent and bring him into our lives as he forgives us. And then we begin the study of God's word and spending time with him and the Father in prayer, learning everything we can learn, because we have quit sinning those sins that we know is sin. We lay them down, walk away from them. We don't pick them up anymore. We're beginning in to what happens when we do those things later on. Now, here in verse 3, and hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. John writes so that he his readers may not sin. Now he sets forth the characteristics of genuine knowledge of God, obedience to his commandments. This is a major teaching of Jesus. Now, he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. You see, those that claim to know him, and yet they are not keeping his commandments, they are not living by his word, and they are doing things he said not to do, and they're not doing things he told us to do, and yet they claim to be Christian or the child of God. The word tells us here they're liars, and the truth ain't in them. Now, verse 5. But whosoever, or whoso, pardon me, keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. That fire perfected is in the perfect tense. John refers to decisive an enduring effect of indwelling love of God, but the test of knowing God's love is keeping his word. But you see, we're beginning to see where he's talking about man being perfect and becoming complete with the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 6, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Now, there is a whole lot there. That's really reaching in to the depth of our being. Even as he walked refers to Jesus' earthly days. While no one can or need duplicate Jesus' atoning ministry, his disciples are called on to imitate his devotion to God and compassion for others. And we're going to find out that that also is going to take us in to a lot more depth as we get further over into 1 John. And I'm going to wait till I get there for you to see it, because we've still got a lot to go. The second chapter is quite lengthy and got a lot of things in it. 7. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. Now, as we look into the depth of 7 and 8, John's commandment is both old and new. This commandment, as is clear below, is to love one another. And Jesus called it new. In John 13:34, though it appears in similar form in Leviticus 19, verse 18, by late in John's life, it is no longer so new, yet in the sense that it continually transforms and renews the lives of Christians, it is and ever shall be new indeed. Now, we get into 9. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. Truth about spiritual matters means nothing without compassion for others. For John hateth seems to mean simply fails to love. And hate does. It fails to love, especially when we have hatred for another being. Now, we can hate sin in their lives, but for the being, their self, we are to love and to pray for. Now, 10. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. He who truly loves, not he that saith, but he that truly loves, abideth in the light, that is, the presence of God. He does not stumble, nor does he cause others to stumble. John stresses action, mere words. You see, we are to bring these things into our lives. And as you see, as we go verse by verse, the depth we need to be walking with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. We need both. The Lord Jesus is our way to eternal life. He is our sacrifice. He is actually our way and means. He is the door. He is the gate to eternal life. And the Holy Spirit is the means that gives us authority and the gifts of the Spirit, those tools that we need in order to be able to do what is called upon us to do, and guides us. He's our comforter. He guides us in the things that we need in our life and gives us greater understanding of God's word as we go through it. Now, 11. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. Now this walketh means lives. In other words, that we that live in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. And he lives, habitually spends his life in darkness or sin. For the blinding effects of Satan and sin. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. 13. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. 14. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you have strong, ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Now as we look into those, we find that John here addresses different groups and assures them of their steadfastness in the true faith, contrary to many of those with whom his letter must deal. Little children, fathers, and young men, and so on, may refer to actual age groups, or it may also have reference to spiritual maturity or level of responsibility in the fellowship. And for example, to new Christians being children. You see, it can mean actually both. Now, 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You hear that? Love not the world is a command. And it's also implying that action now in progress must cease and stop loving the world. There is, of course, one sense in which Christians should love the world, since God himself did and does, but in the sense of pledging personal loyalty and devotion of one's whole being and means Christians are to love God first and foremost. But then, too, we need to be reaching out with that godly love to those that are walking in the world and love them just as God does. You see, these are the things that we need in our lives. Now, 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Now, John signifies the evil desires and sins so much a part of human existence. And we are, pardon me, we are to get rid of all of that out of our lives. And that's why we are to reach out and helping those in darkness is to remove it from them also. Now, 17. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now, I'm going to stop here for the evening. Our time has run out, really. And we have still got to verse 29 to go. You see, I told you in the beginning, there was a lot, and there is a lot in John for you and I to bring into our lives so that we can go forth into this world and to those that are walking according to this world and listening to Satan and his demonic bunch and those of mankind that is filled with evil and do everything we can do to bring this word to them so that they can begin to understand their need for something a lot different and a lot better than what they are living and doing. And they can begin to see the Lord Jesus Christ, know of him and of his love for them. And that he loved them so much, he was willing to take all their sins, all their sickness and disease, and take them to the cross and die for them and go through all that pain and torment and the punishment that should have been ours, he took upon himself. And this is what we need to be getting out of this letter of 1 John. It is strong, and it is to the point of what a child of God is to be and what he is all about. So we're going to stop here now. God willing, we'll pick up in the morning with verse 18 and continue on to wherever God takes us. All right. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as I close your word, I thank you for this word, Father. I thank you for the Lord Jesus and for the Holy Spirit. And Father, I pray for Israel. I pray peace for them. But Father, I also pray that they will come out, all will come out from behind the Mosaic law and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah. In this land, Father, in which we live, the land, Father, that's turned its back upon you, upon the Lord Jesus, taking him out of every place he was in. And Father, I pray for those that struck all this evil in our day and time upon this land and our people, forcing them to believe and accept things that are evil, that they be removed from office and replaced, Father, with those that love you, that love the Lord Jesus Christ, that loves the church and your people and this land, and will work to bring this land to the point of putting it back, our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, I pray for those that are on my heart that listens to this ministry and these studies and those that are part of this ministry that are walking, Father, with a sickness, a disease. I pray for them, Father, because we have been given the authority and the power to use the name of Jesus. We are promised in your word that by his stripes that he bore and took to the cross, that by those stripes we are healed. And Father, I'm claiming that for Kenny Powers and his sickness that he has. Healing, Father, touch him greatly and mightily with that healing power. And we're calling it done in Jesus' name. And Father, I pray that Dennis Lee, his family, that Amy and Tom, Jacob, that family, Father, will move closer to the Lord Jesus. And Father, Bobby and Millie Johnson, I pray for them. I pray Millie has a leg, Father, that she hurt. Touch her with that healing power, Father. Touch her mightily and greatly. And heal it now, Father. And once again, we call it done. And Father, bring her and Bobby back into the church. Now, Father, my wife, Father, those doctors put her where she is. They gave her that disease by giving her and over-medicating her with the wrong medicines. That Father gave her dementia. Now, Father, touch her with that healing power. Restore her memory and bring her back home to me, Father. Now, Father, pursue Branson. She lost her best friend. You took him home. Now, Father, be with her. Give her guidance. Get her into the service, Father. And bring her closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, for Daryl and Debbie, I pray for them, Father, that they will do the best for that church that's closed, Father. It's been closed too long. Now, Father, for Chris and Sam and those children, that family, Father, I pray for them to get close to the Lord Jesus Christ and to serve him and get in to the church. Now, Father, for my children, my grandchildren, and my great-grandchildren, Father, I have them that are not living right. I've got grandchildren that is living in fornication and other things. They're not walking in the Lord at all. I'm praying for them, Father. I'm praying the Holy Spirit can reach them, help to straighten out these situations, and bring them into a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, this is my prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, everyone. I pray you'll walk with God, because if you will, he'll walk with you. I pray that you have a great, great night. And be back with us in the morning to finish out this second chapter. In Jesus' name. Good evening, all.